Annie John by Jamaica Kincaid. This book is read by Robin Miles. For Alan, with love. Chapter 1. Figures in the distance. For a short while during the year I was 10, I thought only people I did not know died. At the time I thought this, I was on my summer holidays and we were living far out on Fort Road. Usually we lived in our house on Dickinson Bay Street, a house my father built with his own hands, but just now it needed a new roof and so we were living in a house out on Fort Road. We had only two neighbours, Mistress Maynard and her husband. That summer, we had a pig that had just had piglets, some guinea fowl and some ducks that laid enormous eggs that my mother said were big, even for ducks. I hated to eat any food except for the enormous duck eggs, hard boiled. I had nothing to do every day, except to feed the birds and the pig in the morning and in the evening. I spoke to no one other than my parents, and sometimes to Mistress Maynard, if I saw her when I went to pick up the peelings of vegetables which my mother had asked her to save for the pig, which was just the thing the pig really liked. From our yard, I could see the cemetery. I did not know it was the cemetery until one day when I said to my mother that sometimes in the evening, while feeding the pig, I could see various small stick-like figures, some dressed in black, some dressed in white, bobbing up and down in the distance. I noticed, too, that sometimes the black and white stick-like figures appeared in the morning. My mother said that it was probably a child being buried, since children were always buried in the morning. Until then, I had not known that children died. I was afraid of the dead, as was everyone I knew. We were afraid of the dead, because we never could tell when they might show up again. Sometimes they showed up in a dream, but that wasn't so bad, because they usually only brought a warning, and in any case you wake up from a dream. But sometimes they would show up, standing under a tree just as you were passing by. Then they might follow you home, and even though they might not be able to come into your house, they might wait for you and follow you wherever you went. In that case, they would never give up until you joined them. My mother knew of many people who had died in such a way. My mother knew of many people who had died, including her own brother. After I found out about the cemetery, I would stand in my yard and wait for a funeral to come. Some days there were no funerals. "No one died," I would say to my mother. Some days, just as I was about to give up and go inside, I would see the small specks appear. "What made them so late?" I would ask my mother. Probably someone couldn't bear to see the coffin lid put in place, and so as a favour, the undertaker might let things go on too long, she said. The undertaker. On our way into town, we would pass the undertaker's workshop. Outside, a little sign read Straffy and Sons, Undertakers and Cabinet Makers. I could always tell we were approaching this place because of the smell of pitch pine and varnish in the air. Later, we moved back to our house in town, and I no longer had a view of the cemetery. Still no one I knew had died. One day, a girl smaller than I, a girl whose mother was a friend of my mother's, died in my mother's arms. I did not know this girl at all, though I may have got a glimpse of her once or twice as I passed her and her mother coming out of our yard, and I tried to remember everything I had heard about her. Her name was Nalda. She had red hair. She was very bony. She did not like to eat any food. In fact, she liked to eat mud, and her mother always had to keep a strict eye on her to prevent her from doing that. Her father made bricks and her mother dressed in a way that my father found unbecoming. I heard my mother describe to my father just how Nalda had died. She had a fever. They noticed